Good morning, Paula.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good, good.
Now, thank you so much for being available to 3CR. And tell us, what's the, you know, upshot of this now? Such a slim miss, isn't it?
Yes, yes, it was, it was. I'm not sure whether you mentioned, but, you know, only about 30% of the population voted.
Yes, yes, very small majority, minority, really, yeah.
It is, and that was one of the, you know, the people are talking about, you know, half of the country, but it's not. It's half of that 30%, or, you know, just over half,
yeah,
voted no, basically. And I think, it's, you know, as a result of a very strong campaign of for the no, and the campaign, you know, of course that was for years and the peace, but basically the campaign for the no was very, very strongly orientated that, you know, you vote in no, or if you vote yes, you vote, you're voting for revolution, or you're voting for a socialist system, or you're voting for the guerrillas to take over, you're voting for socialism, and for, and then put it as a, like a whole thing, you know. And it's a very big problem with education, I think. Confusion, there's a lot of people that didn't know how to vote.
So tell me, I'm curious about the fact that such a small part of the population actually voted. But are there any theories about why there was such a small mobilization?
Well, different theories. I was talking to somebody yesterday, and he was saying that a lot of people think that it's very likely because a lot of people saw, they were very confident that, you know, it's common sense that the yes will win, you know, if you vote yes, it's peace.
Yes.
I said, oh, it's common sense, so everybody else will vote yes, so I don't need to vote. So that's one of the theories. The other thing is, you know, that this, all these years have, it's almost like reflects the degree of I guess, political education, civic duty, or, you know, that people lost interest, especially young population, that they just don't care.
It's a disengagement with politics by this younger generation, isn't it?
Yeah, and not just in Colombia. I think it's around the world. I mean, recently there was some study done from different parts of the world in relation to people interested in politics or not, or interested in voting or participating. And in Colombia was, in the world, the fourth or fifth country. You know, with Peru, Australia is actually about 10 or 15 on the list. So it's like there's a lot of people that are not, they don't care, lost interest. This, I don't know. I think it's the media.
And also, today's leaders aren't exactly inspiring, are they? But it's a bit scary to think that this is something that's happening in Colombia. Latin America has always been known, well, since the Cuban Revolution, really, have been known as, for me, the left bloc of the world, where you've got people challenging conservative views and fighting North America in its desire to make Latin America its backyard. So it's, for me personally, it seems a little bit scary, if not sad, to think that young people are disengaged at that level. But the other thing is, why didn't the people who were running the Yes campaign, the government was actually running that campaign, wasn't it? What sort of campaign did they run? You know, it's a mind-boggling thing that if you want peace and if you want this agreement to happen, you want to mobilize people to vote. What happened there? Do you know anything about it?
I think it's just the same. It's the people that you know lost faith. They don't have faith in the government. They haven't been consistent in decisions they made. Many people grew up in the war. You know, during the war, the division of the voting was, you know, if you go to the country, the majority of people in the country areas where actually they live, death and blood and you know, and the killings, they voted yes. But the majority of the people on this, in the country, in the city, when they saw all this on TV, they see it on the screens every day, they grew up, you know, that way, they voted no. So I think it's, you know, lots of interest, the very strong campaign for the no, they spend lots of money on it.
Yes, I can imagine.
And I think there's a very strong power from the narcos, you know, the drug dealers, the people that are making a lot of money out of this.
Of course, of course.
I mean, I was thinking even, you know, United States, if in Colombia, they wouldn't have excuse to have a base in Colombia.
That's right. They also can't sell drugs, can't sell weapons.
It's not in the best interest. Some people actually live, or this is their profession, they actually live by killing, you know, the sicarios, or, you know, the,
that's right,
the people that actually kill for money. They would lose their job. So basically, there's a strong power that, you know, is in the best interest to maintain status quo, you know, and not change things. The people that are voting no, they very, very rich people, or the ex-president, you know, Uribe. We know that there's a very big interest for, you know, United States to have control over that area, especially because it's sort of next to Venezuela. And that was another scare campaign, you know, if you vote for peace, you're going to have, you know, Venezuela coming over, and it's the same thing that's happening in Venezuela. Somebody also yesterday was talking to me about, you know, the peace process happened in Cuba, but, you know, Cuba, you know, a socialist or communist country. So it's all these, you know,
fear-mongering
of the people, and the fear. It is sad. We were very confident, you know, we were actually in front of the embassy, you know, Colombian embassy, with lots of Latin Americans. Personally, I'm not Colombian, I'm Chilean, but I'm from the Latin American Social Forum, so there were people from Guatemala, El Salvador, Uruguay, Chile. There were a huge group of people, and many Colombians, you know, came with us, and they wrote pictures and videos, and later on a group came with music, and it was a lot of people, and we were really confident. We thought, you know, people will vote for peace. But when talking to Colombian people, it looks like it's a lot more complex than that. They don't see it as you're not voting for peace, you're voting for the FARC, you're voting for terrorism, voting for chaos. And even intelligent, well-educated people, you know, I work with somebody. Unfortunately, they, you know, they have that opinion. And then there's also a large population that they just not vote. As we mentioned before, they're just not interested in voting.
Jake, I want to ask you something.
Something so important as this,
I guess another question I have is, it seems like, you know, the sort of what you're sort of saying is, there seems the left wing in Colombia seems to be really weak. And I guess in light of this vote, sort of what's next, you know, for the left kind of wing forces and the sort of social movements to sort of fight back against this sort of, you know, rise of right wing politics in Colombia?
Yeah. Well, what's next? I'm not sure that you're aware of what's happening the last, you know, 2 or 3 days. I mean, at the beginning, Santos, you know, said about 3 days ago, 4 days ago, that on the 30th of this month, it's going to be they're going to stop the ceasefire. Now, in the last, now he's talking about sitting with Uribe, you know, the guy that had nothing to do with this, didn't want to participate in the peace process, nothing to do with going to Cuba and, you know, talking about, you know, peace treaties. Now Uribe, the biggest campaigner for the no, ex-president, is sitting at the table with Santos to sort of a renegotiation. So Santos is saying that he definitely wants to continue with this peace. He wants to, and he's now willing to renegotiate with the sort of extreme right people that, you know, wanted to know. So unfortunately, it looks like, it sounds like Uribe, I mean, there is a movement for peace, but it looks like Uribe now is got a bit of an advantage, you know, the right-wing group, because they now are going to sit at the table and they're going to put some conditions, change some of the things that, you know, the other guys for about, you know, the table in Havana.
Mm.
Sat for about five, took about almost 5 years to decide.
Mm.
So that's what it looks like happening. The another thing that I heard and is happening, you know, from at least from the people that, you know, supported the peace in Australia or in Sydney, they actually now talking about what we're going to do next. The first thing that they're thinking is developing a network through Facebook, through all the people that, you know, all the Colombians around the world, to get solidarity from governments, institutions, organizations, unions, political parties, to put pressure on the Colombian government to continue this peace.
Mm. One of the things that I heard was the peace negotiations, the conditions, was too generous to the FARC, in particular giving them legitimacy to become part of the community again, and also to be able to form a political force and a political party. The right-wing forces definitely didn't like that.
Yeah, and that was the majority of the no campaign.
Yes,
because that's one of the conditions. Or they were saying, you know, they would take some of, you know, places in government, and they will actually be able to register as a political party.
Mm.
And that's the major part of the campaign. They said, see, they're going to take over.
And that's what they used.
They're going to be in the government.
And that's what they used as saying that, oh, FARC now being recognized as a socialist or left-wing group that is going to take over, like in Venezuela and Cuba and so on. It's the crux of that campaign that drew people away.
That's right. And there's no, you know, a spirit of, they're not talking about reconciliation or anything. And some people are saying, you know, if there's a peace treaty, it needs to be judged. You know, they need to be judged for the crimes that they committed.
Mm.
And people in Colombia have this perception that the FARC committed the majority of the crimes that happened, well, in the last, you know, many, many years in Colombia. But if you look at the statistics and then you look at the evidence, 60-70% of the killings that happen in there happen from the paramilitary.
Mm.
Yes, 60-70%. Not the FARC, but for many people it was because of the FARC. So if the FARC goes to court for whatever reason to be judged, then the paramilitary and the government need to be judged.
Exactly.
And I think that's why, you know, there's none of these, you know, they're nobody going to start. But that's something that, you know, people were talking about. I said, you know, how come they're going to just sit in government, we forget, and just let them be in government? You know, they're going to take over.
Mm. Very delicate, very delicate.
It is a complex situation. And, you know, for me, I was thinking, you know, yes, peace, no, not peace, that's it. But if you talk to Colombians, they just have a whole, you know, bigger arguments and picture. And it looks like they're very manageable. They're very easy to move from one side to the other. My husband works with some Colombians in Vienna, in Australia, and one day they will say, yeah, well, yes, they, no, I'm not going to vote. And the other day they say, oh, I'll vote no.
Yeah.
So it's like, they, no. Yeah, plus there's a large number of people that didn't vote because they didn't get the chance of register in the, you know, overseas.
Oh, so overseas Colombia. People didn't vote?
A very majority in Australia, at least, because they didn't have the chance to register because it was a very sudden decision to do the referendum.
Mm.
And if the people, at least in Australia, I'm not sure what around the world, but in Australia to register, if they didn't vote for the previous elections because of they weren't here or they couldn't or whatever reason, many didn't get the chance to register to the referendum. They have a very little window of time.
Mm. So do you think they'll rerun the referendum by any chance?
I don't think so. I don't know. Well, anything can happen now, but
yeah.
I don't think so. I mean, you know, it will have to be a huge campaign. I think having a referendum was a mistake, personally.
Yeah.
Mm. I don't think it should not happen if it took all those years for them to sit on the table and negotiate this peace. Why did it need to be a referendum about it, you know?
Sounds like the plebiscite question here on the equal marriage thing. Why have a plebiscite? Just sign the agreement and you've got peace.
That's right. But I think it's almost like, and I personally, now I don't trust anybody, and I feel it almost sounds like a strategy from the the current government too. It was, or maybe he was too confident that everybody's going to vote yes. But
interesting point. Yes,
It could have been a strategy as well. As if, you know,
you never know, do you? You just never know what's happening.
Many people say it was their opinion. Why it had to be a referendum? It's not the same comparison, but again, why a referendum about equal sex marriage? You know.
Yep. Same sort of approach, isn't it? So why did they even go for a referendum for peace? Just everybody wants. Yeah.
It makes sense, yeah.
Yeah, it's absolutely mind-boggling, isn't it? But anyway, thank you so much, Paula. You've raised more questions for me than answers, in a sense. But it's an interesting roundup of what's happening there. And it's good to relate that to other plebiscites and referendums around the world, like in Australia. Why? Yeah. You know, why do you have to have these referendums and plebiscites on issues that are a given? I mean, people want peace. Why do you have to go to a referendum to ask them if they want peace? And here, why do you have to ask people about equal right marriage when, you know, it's a human right. Get on with it. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I think what's important now, you know, is that we're not giving up, and the Colombians are not giving up. People in you know, outside Colombia is the ones that voted yes, the majority, except for two countries, United States and Alaska. But the majority wants peace. So the Colombians from Australia that are for the peace process, they are actually going to continue with this campaign. We actually have our regular meeting this weekend, and they come in with what are we doing next? And one of the things is get this network around the world and get Colombians for peace and Latin Americans and Australians and people around the world to support and put pressure in the government. Because we know it's a huge thing happening in Latin America. Many people talking about the second Operation Condor in Latin America. I mean, you know, there's a second big, and we can see it happening, is you know, in Venezuela. You know, they're trying to attack Ecuador, Bolivia, you know, get the reputation of the government, you know, change and get, you know, negative reputation. So basically they're trying to regain, you know, what they lost in the socialism of the 21st century.
Absolutely. Now, on that note, I wonder if you want to give out the website where people can keep updated on this particular issue, Paula.
Yeah, actually, if you go to the Facebook on the Latin American Social Forum, or Latin American Social Forum, just Google it and you'll find the Facebook.
Yep.
There, and we actually keep up to date with information about, you know, and events that are happening, not just in Colombia, but, you know, we just recently had a big conversation with international people via Skype, three people. About Colombia, just the week before the election. Yeah.
Sounds good. And you also have a lot of events, don't you, as well on that?
Oh, heaps from, you know, Guatemala is coming soon because there's, you know, a lot of things happening in Guatemala. We soon in November 12th, we have an event about Mexico. Because, you know, there's a lot of things happening everywhere.
Yes.
We constantly do participate in, you know, link with universities and other groups. With events about, you know, the situation in Brazil, what's happening in Venezuela.
Sounds good.
ABSN is part of the forum as well, the Australia-Venezuela Solidarity Network.
Okay, we're going to round up on this one. Thank you so much, because time's running out. Sorry to cut you off there. Thank you so much for coming, and we'll have to keep up to date about Latin America with you, because now we want to know what's going to happen next, of course. So we will talk to you again in the near future to update on Latin America. Thanks, Paula.
Thank you very much. Take care. Bye.
Bye.